Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're awaiting Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Tyquan Thornton. When they head up to the podium, we'll go live out to Arrowhead.
We did, based on the vote on the text line, I think says, we found the official fart of Cody and Gold.
Oh, yeah, jeez.
The official fart sound, Drew. Nailed it, first try.
Way to go, Drew. Hey, Way to go. When you talk to your wife, how was work today? You can say, you know what? Real productive day. Okay. All right. Enough.
Only when people say Stop. Really stupid things. Yes. I was thinking like a longer sound in my head all right. When I had suggested it, but it works.
Yeah, it does. It definitely does.
It works. What can I say?
Yeah.
It's
some,
just like
some random consultant is going to, we don't know. They have a consultant listening to the show today. We're going to find out 3 months from now. Be like, I was listening to your show one day. Too many noises that sounded like farts on your show for that 3 minute period.
Sir, a huge chunk of our audience enjoyed it. Men from 25 to 54. Uh-huh. And I got to be honest.
Yeah.
Everybody likes it. Men, women, children, everybody likes
everybody
a fart joke.
I don't know about that.
Everyone likes a fart joke. It's farts are funny for every person on the planet.
Yeah.
The text line will universally agree with me on this. I'm convinced.
Mm-hmm.
It's always funny. Makes people laugh.
Yeah.
Put a little levity in your day.
Someone
you know?
Says every man listening is laughing. There you go. There you go.
I'll be curious to see what Andy says about Xavier Worthy. Obviously, he was asked about it in postgame, and they just said they wanted to sit on it a little bit. But the truth is that there's nothing new with the injury. He is participating. He has been participating. It's always going to be a risk. Is the hope that you get a couple of games with him and Hollywood and Rice together? Because you can't afford, this is the problem, you can't really afford to lose a lot of games while you wait for the magical moment for Worthy to come back. And so if you thought we can beat the Giants without him, I'll listen to it. But if nothing's changed in the injury front, Drew's right. He has to be available for this game against the Ravens on Sunday. It is a huge swing game. For where you are as a team, the season, the record, the division, it's got way too many things on the line. It sets it up so you can lose to the Lions and be okay, not lose to the Jags, but lose to the Lions and be okay.
Well, it takes a little pressure off. It takes a little pressure off. Everybody, you know, all of a sudden you stack a win or you stack two wins together. You feel like, okay, we've stabilized the ship. Ideally, you know, you hope that some of the things maybe you figured out in the second half offensively continue to build on that, you know, whatever other shifts that they make. But Xavier Worthy, along with Tyquan Thornton, would be the two most explosive players they've had on the football field this year, if in fact we get to that point, if that happens on Sunday. And so that becomes a threat for your opponents, obviously, moving forward. So we'll see. We're going to hear from Andy in just a second out at Arrowhead to find out. My guess is he'll be limited again in practice, though. They are expecting, it sounds like, everybody to practice today, though. We'll hear that from Andy Reid directly right now, actually, on 96.5 The Fan.
Don't have any injuries for you. Everybody's going to practice today, so that's a positive. Look for the challenge of playing the Ravens. Good football team. We played them the last couple of years. We think they know us, and we know them pretty much, so should be a heck of a battle. And look forward to that challenge. Look forward to coming back here to Arrowhead and playing. So, anyways, with that, time's yours.
Coach, the play to Isaiah Pacheco where he's coming back, obviously something was going wrong. Can you kind of explain how he ended up behind and are you trying for a lateral there? Or did it just kind of get blown up by what the defense was?
Yeah, just it was the release on it. Yeah, we weren't trying to, not once or twice. So we don't want that. But he was trying to chip on the tackle and got caught up in there and it bumped him out too wide. So we'll fix that.
Have you seen enough from Xavier that the optimism level has grown for a return potentially this week?
Yeah.
How important is it just to see him in practice and being more than limited to get in out there on?
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll just evaluate him and take it day by day, but he feels good, so we'll see.
How have you been going across just, you know, this offense with, you know, you had Taekwon, Juju, and now you bring Xavier back, and then in the preseason you were doing with Rasheed. Just how have you guys just adjusted, you know, basically week to week, having kind of
been sure. I think one of the great things is that Pat's been able to get some game time with a couple guys that he didn't have a lot of game time with between Hollywood and 80. So, I mean, I think it's a positive thing. And then when the other guys come in, then he's got experience with them. So I look at the production of the other two guys, Hollywood and Thornton, and it's been, I think that's a real positive for the team going down the road here.
Andy, Pat talked in the offseason about how you told him to throw deeper, but what does it say to you about him that he's gone out there and worked on it and now he's doing it and has had success with that in games?
Yeah, well, we practiced it, so he could. You've got to practice that. The percentages go down on long balls anyways compared to the short intermediate game, so the further you go down the field. So you've got to put in the time there and practice it. And as coaches, we've got to make sure we give him an opportunity to do that before game time. So we spent a little bit more time with that, so it'd be part of the offense. And then he could get used to these guys doing their routes.
Coach, I heard a little bit of Travis's podcast today. So he said he's confident. Momentum's going the right way with the offense. Did you feel like after halftime, you came back and watched everything, you guys got some good things going and brighter days ahead, regardless of who's out there with the receivers and all?
Yeah, I thought it was better the second half, for sure. Yeah. Ended on a good note that way, but you got to build on that. So that's you're going against a good defense. So you got to make sure. Take care of business this week. Make sure we detail our work.
Coach, thoughts about that Ravens defense? They're obviously not happy to be 1-2 either. This is, I mean, neither one of you thought you'd be right here, but what did you see from them in recent study on what they have defensively for you guys?
Yeah, well, Orr is he's a good one, so defense coordinator. And he'll have, he brings guys from all over when needed, and at the same time, they play good sound defense on top of that. They've got good players. I'm sure he'll have some change-ups from what he did with us last time, which is, we'll just have to adjust to it. So, but he does a nice job with that defense. He's got a lot of flexibility there with what he can do with the players.
What do you expect from them? I mean, they got their backs to the wall. That's the way they're approaching it.
Yeah, sure. They're a tough football team. It should be a good, tough football game, and that's the way you prepare yourself, I'm sure.
Coach, Juwan had another penalty the other night, and obviously that it looks like the knee and the ankle injuries have been an issue for him too. Is there any point where he might need a break, or do you still have complete confidence in himself and his status right now?
When he doesn't have the penalties, his percentage has been good. So one of the better tackles in his pass protection game. I'm conscious of that, and then I'll take care of it from there. I might be giving you a call. You're looking good.
Sorry.
Coach, there is a pretty big investment in that offensive line. Are you surprised it hasn't been more effective, and as far as getting the running game to be more efficient? Or is, I know there's a lot of factors that go into it, but
yeah,
they're part of the equation.
Yeah. So I thought. This past week was one of their better games. Yeah, so I thought they came together there and did some good things, run game and pass. Yeah.
Steve, Coach, Juju has been pretty consistent for you guys, kind of flown under the radar a little bit. What does he bring to the
yeah, team? Yeah, he's great in the room as a leader, good man, and works hard, does things the right way. He's not afraid to speak up when he sees something, which is great for the young guys to hear. And then he's a good football player. He understands space, big body. He's not afraid to go anywhere on the football field or anybody. So that's his benefit there.
Okay, thanks, Coach.
Yep.
All right, so that was Andy Reid. We're going to hear from Patrick Mahomes in just a second. The final minute and a half was kind of interesting there. He was asked about Juwan Taylor. We all know we've been discussing, hey, would they eventually make the switch to a Jalen Moore, even if it's not this week, would they do it down the road? Well, that sounded like a head coach that believes, hey, when he's not, I think the quote was, when he's not committing the penalties, he's pretty damn good.
You could argue he's one of the best pass blockers in the NFL, is
so,
what he said.
Yeah. Juwan Taylor is still going to be the right tackle for this football team for the foreseeable future. That should be pretty clear now.
I think that might be a mistake. And I understand for the first couple of weeks, I was even defending it. And that Juwan Taylor was doing some things okay when he wasn't making the mistakes that Andy was talking about. Last week, he was bad at both. He was both committing penalties and didn't block anybody on the Giants. He was the worst offensive lineman of the five in the game against the Giants. And so you want to give him a couple of weeks because, like you mentioned, vet, a lot of money, good times before, we'll take a chance.
They're going to ride this thing out.
He leads the league in penalties.
I know.
The entire time he's been in Kansas City, he leads the league in penalties again. What big game does he have to cost you before you decide enough is enough? That's the problem. Last year, he cost him no games. They won 15 of them.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to ride this thing out as long as possible. You know, I think we have discussed the reasons for it. I obviously would not be against seeing what Jalen Moore has, but I think it is important, as we were discussing with Nate Taylor, it's one of those reasons why they may not be willing to do it so early, is because once you make the switch, that's the switch for the season.
Yep.
Is the conversation different for them? Not for us, we're all having it. For them, is the conversation different a month from now, 2 weeks from now, 8 weeks from now? It is. But for the foreseeable future, if you were hoping a change was happening on Sunday or in the next 2 weeks, no, not happening.
I do still think that this goes back to I am never on this show sitting here trying to tell you I know more about football than Andy Reid. That's insane. I don't. But I also don't think we have to just like pretend like organizations or coaches only make right decisions all the time. This is one of those that I think if you wanted to give him a couple of weeks, I'd actually give him a pass. But the idea that if this continues,
we've seen it sacrilege to
switch off of Juwan Taylor. That's insane. You can't just let him make these mistakes forever with no retribution. You tell me that mistakes have consequences. I've seen him bench players for making mistakes. Good players, successful players for them, for making mistakes. Why is Juwan Taylor immune to it? Unless you just think Jalen Moore stinks.
Well, that's the weird thing is, you paid Jalen Moore. And I'm still fine with that because they didn't know they were going to get Josh Simmons. I get the logic behind it. And Jalen Moore is going to be this team's right tackle next year. He got all the reps at right tackle during training camp. That's the good thing. I just think it's, in their mind, it is early. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just telling you, I understand what he is saying. It's clear how they are viewing it. Because once they make the switch, that's the switch for the full season. I think the convo for them could be way different a month from now. They're not willing to do it 4 weeks into the season.
I'm not even arguing with you and I would probably view a different football season, man. Once you're through four games, it's not early. You are 25% of the way through the season. That's the same as being 40 games into the baseball season. Remember we had to have that argument over MJ Melendez?
Yep.
Is it too early to make a decision? No. Not if the player is having this thing. My problem is that this isn't four games. This is 40 games of evidence. Juwan Taylor is a penalty magnet machine, an unstoppable penalty
force.
He's
not going to clean that up.
Because he lined up off, like, I'm going to work with him on it. It's just not true. You've decided to accept him with his flaws. There are people who do that, right? People get in relationships and they're like, this one thing's a problem, but like, I just accept that about him.
They've had two off seasons. They've had two off seasons to get this corrected. He's had two off seasons to get the holding stuff corrected. And now it's not just the penalties. It is the fact that he's clearly still dealing with some sort of knee injury on top of it.
He lined up offsides and on the next play lined up more offsides, not less, not the same. He was more offsides.
He could have gone for more penalties.
He was more offsides the second time. So if you think this is lesson learned and Juwan will tighten it up, no. Yeah. You've accepted. If he makes a penalty, you're not allowed to use that as an excuse for what held you back in a game. You've made a decision that his penalties and the penalties he gets called for are acceptable in your mind versus the good that he offers your team.
I know the guys in the press conference room are on the beat, and so they're having to interact on a daily basis.
Oh, it's
and
way
they
different, yeah.
And they have to be a little bit different with how they approach questions. I would have loved an opportunity to follow up, though, and be like, what makes you believe that the issue that he's had for the last 2 years, now you guys are going to correct it? I mean, it's a fair question.
Like, are you just accepting the mistakes he's going to make, and we'll just deal with them.
I'm not saying they would like the question, but I think it's a very fair one. The penalties you acknowledge have been an issue, yes. this was an issue 2 years ago. Yes. Why is it now going to get corrected 2 years later?
Nothing.
I mean, it's not. And that's why they wouldn't like the question.
It wouldn't matter. Like, if your friend had been cheating on his wife for 2 years and he's like, I'm stopping now. You're like, now? Right. Sure. Okay. Like, it's not, like, it doesn't really matter what the, like, it's, he's chosen not to fix it. He's made no efforts in fixing it.
I want to be fair. I don't want to say that. I'm not saying he hasn't tried. Either way, it's either because he knows it impacts his performance. Like, that's what he has to do to perform well, yeah, is lined up incorrectly or whatever. I don't want to say the effort because I don't know what he has tried to work on. All I know, it hasn't worked. Whatever he's tried to do, it hasn't worked. Whether the coaching staff, whatever their effort is on it, it hasn't worked. Andy Heck, the O-line coach, get it figured out. You had 2 years to do it. So
I think 2 years is a conscious decision.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that there's any more, like, I've been working on this in practice and I just make mistakes sometimes. He's had 2 years. Yep. That's a conscious decision to not improve that.
I think
it's
become part of his game now.
Yeah,
and the switch would cause his performance to go down, and therefore he hasn't been able to switch from it. And that's a bad spot to be in.
In a weird way, if you just said, we accept him for who he is, as in, these penalties happen, and we know that this does it, but he's a really good pass blocker. So, and that's essentially what Andy's telling you. When he doesn't have the penalties, he's a really good pass blocker. We accept him for his flaws.
It's Cody and Gold here on 96.5 The Fan, KFNZ, FM, and AM, HD1 and HD2, Kansas City, and Odyssey Station. Go ahead, sorry.
I know, you're good. I think it's just nuts to try to marginalize with that, though, because to your point, Cody, like, you know, like Andy said, you know, he's really good when he's not committing the penalties, but the penalties are ones that are taking you from 3rd-and-3 to 3rd-and-9, and they are killing your drives single-handedly.
All players have flaws, admittedly, and sometimes that teams are willing to. So, like, for instance, it's like the way they used to say Brett Favre's a gunslinger. They're willing to accept Brett Favre's interception habits because of all the great plays he made. They don't like saying it that way in the NFL. They always try to pretend like everybody can improve and this is going to get better. It's never going to get better. Juwan Taylor is going to get called for the same number of penalties every year for the rest of his life. It's not getting better. I've accepted that it's not getting better. Andy Reid has probably accepted that it's not getting better. What he's telling you today, I think, with his comments is, because of how good he does historically, when he's not screwing up, I'll take it.
They still think he's the best.
The 5 yards.
The reality, they still, yeah, we've only seen Jalen Moore at training camp.
Yeah.
But they believe Jalen Moore is still not as good as Juwan Taylor right now. That's what they're saying. I mean, honestly, that's deep down. Mm-hmm. That is what they're saying. Now, that might concern you for next year. Right. I mean, that's what I'm also thinking about. Like, well, what does that say about next season? Maybe Jalen Moore needs more time to learn the position. Cause again, he has never played right tackle. He's only played left tackle. Maybe that's what this is as well, that they need to get Jalen Moore more comfortable playing right tackle. But I believe it's not just so much that they've come to accept Juwan Taylor's clear flaws. It is, to me, also accepting that, well, he still gives us a better chance than the other guy. That's the only explanation.
Very real question. How much time do you think they spend in practice being like, no, you're lined up wrong. Scoot up. No, wrong again. Scoot up. Wrong. Well, you're still not lined up.
There's not refs at their practice, so.
Yeah, like, I'm asking, like, or is it just like he mentioned it one time, you know?
All right, let's hear from Patrick Mahomes here on 96.5 The Fan.
Yeah, no, I think just with the guys that we have, I've kind of put it on myself to give guys chances down the field. And even though we haven't performed offensively as a whole, I think the entire year so far as efficient and scoring points the way we want to, we've kind of made an emphasis to give guys chances down the field to make plays, and guys have made those plays. And so that started in training camp, that started in OTAs. It's like I told guys to hold me accountable, and I wanted to hold myself accountable that I give the guys the chances to make plays, and they're proving that they can make them.
How's it feel to wind up now? I mean, you got a lot more of the big wind up throws.
Yeah, I mean, it's still something that I have to continue to get better and better at. I think that there's more opportunities to make these plays in the games in these first few weeks, but I think it just gives me the confidence when guys like Tyquan come down with the catch that he did, that I can keep forcing the ball down the field and let them try to make plays. And we'll continue to get better and better at that, as well as with the rest of the offense. But, I mean, it's always super exciting when you get a chance to throw the ball down the field.
Patrick, you know, it's not what Nick's man up with the receiving corps. Over the course of your career, you've had to deal with that a lot. And just this year, you practice a lot with Rasheed and St. Joe, and then you go on, and now Tyquan's leading, Hollywood's leading Brazil. Just how have you been able to maintain each receiver that comes up, or each receiving unit that you have for that available that day, to make sure that you keep firing, keep within the system? All those guys have to mix and match sometimes within their own system.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's things here and there that you have to work on, but I think more than anything, the guys are putting in the work during the week. And so I think for us, at the end of the day, whenever we start getting these guys back, like Xavier and Rasheed, when he gets back, it's going to make us even better because guys had to step up, and they have, and they've stepped up and made plays. And you've seen Hollywood, you've seen Juju, you've seen Tyquan all step up into their roles and have even bigger roles within the offense. And so we'll continue to get better and better as the season goes, but it'll be an important week this week.
Before last game, you mentioned Juju. He's kind of falling under the radar a little bit, but being pretty consistent. Mm-hmm. What's he mean for that wide receiver?
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of like the leader of those guys, man. I mean, he's someone who's been there and done it. You know, he's won the Super Bowl. He's had big 1,000-yard receiving seasons. He's kind of been in all different types of offenses, and so he can be that guy that they can lean on, they can ask questions to, and then I think he does a great job when his number gets called in the game to make the plays happen, and being available whenever I need someone to throw to, and has a good feel for the defenses and what the defenses are presenting, and so he's someone that's super important to that room just in general, but he stepped up whenever we needed him to these first few weeks and made plays happen.
Before last game, you described the offense as close. As you reviewed, what signs in the second half did you see that maybe it's even getting closer to what you wanted?
Yeah, I think just the execution. You know, we cleaned up our execution. I got the ball out. I made the right decision, made the right throws. I think that's the most important thing. It's like just making the throws, you know, making the throws whenever they're there, getting the ball out of my hand, letting guys make plays happen. And I did that in the second half. And I mean, the only drive that we didn't score was the one that I missed Tyquan. So, I mean, it just proves that if you make the throws that the offense can be productive and can have the progress that we want. I just got to go out there and make the plays happen.
Patrick, I know you've been blitzed more than you typically have. Mm-hmm. And what's that been like, and what's the adjustment?
Yeah, I mean, I think you see that we're able to throw the ball down the field a little bit more now because of that. I think it's just it's a product of the teams that we played and them testing our young offensive linemen. But I think our offensive line have done a great job of picking up those blitzes and giving me opportunities. And that's why you've been able to see some of these deep shots down the field. And you got to be able to execute and showcase that you can hit those throws. And if you do that, they'll adjust, and then we have to adjust as well. And so that's what's beautiful about the NFL is you have to be able to adjust on the fly and make things happen.
Patrick, I know you get together with the coaches the night and go through the plays that are there. Andy gives you input. I mean, how much do you take out or put in, or how much is really your choice on what plays end up going into the actual game?
Yeah, I mean, Coach Reed gives me kind of free roam. If I don't like plays, just tell him. He'll take them out of there. And we do a good job. They communicate with me throughout the week. I mean, it starts yesterday or even the day before on Monday. Of just kind of talking about stuff that they're thinking about, and then I communicate kind of what I'm seeing, and then I trust in Coach Reed that he's going to make the game plan the way that he has done for a long time now, and he always makes great ones. And so I think more than anything is trusting in him and then telling him whenever I'm not feeling the play that I'm not feeling.
Has it evolved over time? I mean, maybe when you first got here, everything's a pass, everything's wide open, and maybe now you're a little more cerebral in what you're picking out?
I mean, stuff evolves for sure just because I've seen more and more defenses and know the team more and more and know what we're trying to do. I think more than anything, I think the trust that he has with me has gotten even more and more just throughout the years. And a lot of those times, especially when I go to the sideline there before like a timeout or kind of like the review with the Tyquan play, and then we talk about it, and I tell him a play that I like, he'll call it, and he has that trust in me that I'm seeing it right out on the football field, and that and he gives me the chance to go out there and make it happen.
What kind of boost is it to have Rasheed back in the building?
It's huge. I think just having a guy that you work with every single week, all training camp, all off season, and then having him back in the building, he always has a smile on his face, and you can tell the guys, they like him. And kind of like Juju, he's kind of been one of those guys that's been here, and he's won a Super Bowl, and even though he's young, he can kind of be a leader for those guys in the room of how we work and how we get after things. And so obviously he can't practice, but he can be in the meetings and listen to the stuff that we're working on, it definitely gives a boost to the whole receiving room and the whole offense.
Nate? Patrick, you're one of the more veteran guys in the league now. I know this is a little bit off topic, but you spend a lot of time in between the games or, talking to the referees. I just wonder, what's your conversations like with the referees, and what are those back and forth nature in the middle of a game?
Yeah, I think more than anything, they're just communicating different things that you're seeing, and you might ask kind of like the alignment stuff or like the motion type things and the timings and stuff like that, just to making sure that we're doing everything the right way and doing everything the way that we're supposed to. And so that's stuff that we continue to get better and better at. But just keeping an open dialogue, because those guys are trying to to make the game go as smoothly as possible and want us to go out there and let the players dictate the game. And so we try to just have that open communication with them. And I think that's kind of like every QB in the league is that you have those communications like that.
Lebo, you guys ran the ball a little more efficiently with the running backs this past week. And as we watched the Ravens on Monday, they were a little susceptible to run maybe. I mean, it's just, I know it's cat and mouse every week. It's going to be a little bit different here and there. But do you feel like the run game has some momentum and can be a bigger part of, having success and balancing everything out?
Yeah, I mean, we want to be balanced. I mean, I think every team in the NFL does, and I thought this last week we did a better job of running the ball, and I thought the offensive line did a good job of doing the run blocking together and the chemistry building between them. And I know that you saw Monday night at the Ravens, but they're a prideful group, man. I don't think they're going to be very happy with the film, and they're going to come out with the mentality of stopping the run. So it'll be a great test for us. And so it'll be able to go up there and be able to run the football and then be able to pass off of it. Will be important to us, stay balanced, and go up against a team that's going to be as hungry as we are. So it'll be a great football game this weekend.
Matt, how much, Patrick, in the last three games, and especially in the second half, have you felt that, you talked about the offensive line and the job they've been doing in pass protection, that you've been allowed the ability to push your eyes downfield and maybe look for some of those targets. Do you feel that increasing in your trust in that ability?
100%. I mean, I think that's been huge. This last defensive line that we played had all type of first-rounders, all type of talent, and I thought the offensive line did a great job of giving me time to throw the ball down the field. And it's my feet, you tell, are a little bit more calm because I understand that these guys can protect and they can give me time to make these throws, and I'll continue to get better and better at that and try to make some of these throws more accurate down the field, and instead of hitting 1 to 2 a game, making that 3 to 4 and then 5 to 6, and then defense will back up and it'll help us out with other stuff within the offense. And so I'm just excited for where this offense is going. I know it hasn't been the perfect product that we've put out there so far, but there's a lot of good too.
The last three, Nick, Surin, and then Vi. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, Patrick, with the Ravens offense that you're going against, that can hang 30 to 40 without a problem, how do you approach this week with your teammates and from an execution perspective and mentality-wise out there on the field?
Yeah, I think for us, we got to start faster. I think every game we've kind of said that we haven't really got to do that. And we were moving the ball early in the game last week, but we're settling with field goals. And when you play teams that are really good and have dynamic quarterbacks like the Ravens do, you got to turn those into touchdowns. And that will not only put pressure on them, but it unleashes Spags to be able to do what he wants to do. And you always see when we get leads, it's like he's great. He's a great finisher. He's a great closer of being able to give you different looks and stuff like that. And so we got to take pressure off our defense. And put pressure onto them by starting faster, and we can be better at that this week.
The play where the ball goes backwards to Isaiah Pacheco, is that in your head? You know he's there, and you're just looking to flip it out there, and as you turned around in the moment of having to get it out, there's almost like, whoa, you try to pull it back as you're letting it go. Like, just what was going through your head is that?
Yeah, I mean, I got to see where I'm throwing before I throw it. We had called a play, and you don't want those short completions in that 2-minute type tempo, and so you kind of take the incompletion, and so I kind of had went to burn it at his feet, and then seeing him as I was throwing it, obviously he was backwards, and that's why I knew immediately when I threw it. But you got to just see the guy before you throw it there. Obviously, I'm trying to throw it out to him in the flat and everything like that, but I got to see where he's at. He's trying to chip and give me time to throw the ball down the field. And so luckily, I was able to get the ball back, and then defense was able to get a huge stop for us there in the end of the half. But I got to be better at not just throwing it blindly, just kind of knowing where those guys are before I burn it at their feet.
Patrick, on the intermediate and deep passes, when you haven't connected, how much are you seeing – passes you wanted back and versus maybe just a matter of communication?
I would say the one that I for sure wanted back was the post one before the half. I knew that once Tyquan won, I knew that the backside guy had gotten held by the route that we had, the backside safety, and so I could probably put that ball out further. I threw it more across the field, but with the levers that the corner had, I wish I'd have thrown it further and let Tyquan just run underneath it, probably a touchdown if I do that. And then the one that was on the third and short, it's kind of just more of a miscommunication, just knowing that I would want it. If I had more time, I could have sold it a little bit more, but it was a run play, so I didn't want linemen downfield, and so I kind of wanted Tyquan's eyes back a little bit earlier, but he sees the open space, and so that's just communication stuff that we can work on, and he's in a bigger role in the stuff that he hasn't done before, and so that'll be important. I mean, obviously, we missed a touchdown. We still win the game. He'll learn from that. We'll hit next time we get the opportunity.
Thanks, Patrick.
All right, so that was Patrick Mahomes speaking to the media. We are expected to hear from Tyquan Thornton here in just a second. Cody and I were talking off air right before Mahomes wrapped up. Just, you know, it puts things in perspective. You appreciate just how detailed, like, we know this, but to hear him once again, he's breaking down two particular throws and three or four different things on that play that he could have done differently or saw. Just it puts in perspective just like how detailed these guys are.
He's like, I wish I had just put a little more air under it, because I knew I had to get it out quick because it was a, you know, it was a play action, so I didn't want the lineman to get downfield. And I knew, because of the way our other coverage worked, that the second he got past that corner, that he couldn't come back to help. And then you're like, oh man, you're doing all that in 5 seconds?
Yeah, that's it's,
and then
it's
throwing a football. And it's all still like, and then you still have to make the throw. Like, they had opportunities in this game. Mahomes missed a couple of weird ones over the last couple of weeks. The one to Travis Kelce in that game against the Giants, where he just missed him, left. Maybe he thought Travis was going to leak out to the left, but Travis is standing there the whole time. And then he's missed Tyquan deep a couple of times. Not that those are supposed to be 100% success rate plays when you go deep down the field, but everything still felt like a little off until that first drive of the second half. I'm kind of hoping maybe we'll get more offense like that. We'll see.
The other thing I took away just from that, what, 6-7 minutes or whatever it was of Patrick talking there, was it sounded like a quarterback that, while we're discussing the opportunities down the field, it feels like he's slowly starting to gain more trust in his offensive line, because that's been an issue.
You can tell my feet not aren't as happy.
Not the happy feet stuff. You're trusting like that. If you're looking for little improvements in how ultimately this offense hopefully gets back to being one of the better ones, not only is it just Worthy and Rice coming back, but as the offensive line play hopefully gets a little bit better, as he has more trust in Simmons in particular on his left side, that is also what's going to contribute to the close misses down the field that they've had to Thornton and eventually hopefully to Worthy, right?
Trusting that you can stand there for another half second before you
That's
going
to help. That's going to help solve some of that. But I noticed that he sounded a little more confident in his O-line.
In a weird way, that's admitting what we all saw last year, which was, why does Mahomes look off? Why is he rushing stuff? Why is he throwing at his feet? Why does it look like? Because he didn't trust his offensive line. And for a lot of last year, all the mechanic stuff, the deep ball stuff that was so out of whack, and even in the first game and a half this year, where it seemed like he was bailing on the pocket too early, the longer he stays in, the more likely those deep passes are to go. They have to hold up, obviously, to make that all work. I think he's getting much closer, much, much closer to that.
Of course, on Wednesdays, our lunch partner, our friends over at Jefferson's. It's football season. There's no better place to watch your favorite team than Jefferson's. They've got great daily specials. Of course, a great happy hour locations in Lenexa, North KC, Lawrence, Topeka, and Joplin. So bring your friends and family out to Jefferson's for the ultimate game day experience. Jefferson's, wings, burgers, oysters.
Yeah, I want to wait on the offense. But I also would like, you know what it is? For me to think that Worthy and Rice together with Tyquan and everybody is going to like make this offense back to not the glory days. I'm not looking for 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards, but back to when they are a respected offense in the NFL and people actually fear what they're capable of doing. I actually need, like, proof of life before that. Like, this week, when let's say Worthy comes back, it's just Worthy in Hollywood and Thornton. Show me something. That's a bad defense playing bad. Show me something. Show me that you can take advantage of some of these areas. I'm not saying drop 40 on the Ravens, but show that you can do some of those things offensively and do some of the things you claim you're getting better at. Time in the pocket, that's going to go a long way. Mahomes has never had one of the five best offensive lines in football. Like, in all the time. And I'm not, like, that's not revisionist history. He has had good offensive lines. He's had top five players in their position. Like, Mitchell Schwartz was probably the best right tackle. Joe Tooney was probably the best left guard at the times in which he's had him. But they've always had good offensive lines when their offense was great. As in, like, we're a respectable unit who can do the job. The last 2 years before this one, it was getting bleak gold. To the point that I think it did throw off his mechanics and his system and his process.
But ultimately, it to get to where this offensive line is considered a major strength, and there's no reason why it shouldn't be based on what they've invested, Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, we talked about it a week ago as well.
It's got to be one of the better offensive lines.
Those two in particular have to play better. We mentioned it last week with Nate Taylor when he joined us in studio, and he agreed that those two guys are not off to their best starts of their career, and I think you brought up yesterday Mitchell Schwartz
is questioning health.
The health of Trey Smith. And now Andy Reid, as far as, you know, we're going off of what they tell us, right?
We nothing on the injury report.
By the way, everybody's practicing today.
Fulton,
so
too.
It's weird. This team is 1-2, and of course you'd rather have an extra win or two, but this is as healthy like as a unit as the 53-man roster has been heading into week four in a while. They've always had some other, like Christian Fulton. I don't know if he's going to play or not, but he's,
I don't
he's
know if Dano will play either.
And it doesn't mean that he's going to be a full participant. It doesn't mean that Xavier Worthy's going to be a full participant, but Dana's back at practice. Fulton's back at practice. Royals obviously continues to practice. Worthy's back at practice. Like, they're in a good spot when it comes to that compared to where they've been in recent history. That's
going back to the Royals comps earlier in the year, this is kind of how I feel about it, and this is how I think they should approach it, too. It's about keeping your head above water. Remember when the Royals lost Cole Reagans and Lugo to everybody, and we were looking at their schedule goal, and we're like, hey, can you go 500? That's genuinely what my stance is until you get Rice back. Can you get to 3-3? Can you just be 3-3 by the time that Week 7 match was at Denver? Who do they face in Week 7?
I do not know.
I paid so much attention to the first six games because of how hard they are. Now I can't remember the exact Game 7. So hold, please, while I look it up. It is the Raiders. Sorry, different divisional opponent. The Raiders in Week 7. Can you be 500 before you take on the Ravens, Commanders, and Bills? Okay, can you just stay afloat? Keep your head above water. Don't make, and I don't say that often about a Chiefs team, but when you've been dealing with the injuries and the suspensions for Rashee Rice that they have been, there is this big impetus of just like, can you just stay afloat for a little while you're still figuring these things out? That's still why this Ravens game, I don't want them to have to beat the Jags and the Lions. I don't really care they get to the 3-3. I'll say the same thing going into that Raiders week if they get to 3-3, whether it's lose to the Ravens or 1-3 and then beat the Jags and the Lions, but I prefer that they have the wiggle room, Gold. Just go ahead and get the win this Sunday and not have to worry about it.
Well, and it's got major implications, as we've discussed, from a tie-breaking standpoint. Now, maybe it doesn't matter as much if depending on if you believe the Ravens and or Chiefs can still win their divisions and will win their divisions. But for the Bills and the tiebreakers, the Bills already have one over the Ravens. The Ravens don't have the tiebreaker over the Bills. If they lose to Kansas City, they would not have a tiebreaker over Buffalo or Kansas City. It would guarantee, most likely, unless you don't think somebody's winning their division, it would mean that there's no way for most likely the Ravens or the Bills to lose a tiebreaker on you if you're a Kansas City. If you lose, you know, you play Bills later on. You can't be in a position where if you're the Ravens to have two head-to-head tiebreakers gone. If you're the Chiefs, you don't want to lose a head-to-head tiebreaker to Baltimore when you already, of course, lost to a divisional team and the Chargers on your schedule. There's just major shifting based off of Sunday's result. There's no doubt.
Hopefully we get good news on the injury update later and we see a couple of full participants. That would probably be for the best. I know we're going to hear from Tyquan Thornton here in just a little bit.
Yeah, they're still going through some other stuff. We'll see if we carry that live. If not, we'll bring you some of that. But we are waiting on Tyquan Thornton. Up next, though, we do want to talk some Royals baseball with Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. Get his perspective on the Royals officially being eliminated and look ahead to the future a little bit, plus his thoughts on the AL Central, which now has the Guardians with the tiebreaker technically in first place.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll get to the random question of the day here in about 12 minutes or so. But don't forget, Sports Talk on 96.5 The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his empire. Watch the new season of Tulsa King, now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Let's talk some Royals baseball with our Royals insider Josh Vernier as the final week of the baseball season is here. Vern, the Royals were officially eliminated yesterday. I understand most people had that already happening a week or so ago. But how would you, I guess, describe the 2025 season. Cody and I were kind of going back and forth about the realization of what went wrong, but also what their expectation was, and of course they failed to meet those.
Right. Expectation was division title, postseason at worst, especially once you made the decision to call up Jack Caglione. I think as long as Bobby and Cags are wearing the same uniform, it's always going to be playoffs or bust. I don't think I can properly describe this season just yet, because I do think there's a big difference between 80 wins and 82 wins. As silly as it sounds, I think there's a difference between 81 wins and 82 wins. So I need to know, is this a winning team? Is it a 500 team? Is it a losing team before I define it? Now, whatever it is, it's that because the offense stunk for 80%, 75% of the season. Every team deals with injuries. Injuries, in my opinion, have nothing to do with why the Royals are where they're at. Again, everyone is dealing with injuries. This, to me, is solely on the offense. And everyone, you know, even the guys that had great seasons, I mean, maybe outside of Michael Garcia, I think everyone wears some of this. Salvi, Vinny, Bobby included.
When you look at it, see, this is the part that's going to, I think, piss me off the most, Vern, at the end of it, is I'm going to watch this and I'm going to see the AL Central winner have 88 games. And I'm like, six games? I'm not going to have any trouble finding six games you gave away if you won with 82. Or just like, Vern, not be the worst offense in baseball. Be the 10th worst, the 12th worst offense in baseball. And we're probably talking about a playoff team. I think that's the part of the year that's going to be really hard to let go at the end of this thing, as far as you had it, you just didn't capitalize.
Possibly, but there's a lot of teams that can say that. And honestly, like Gold alluded to, I think that point we came to grips with in July, right after the month of June. I think we all understood that the offense being not just bad, but the worst, is going to be the reason why this team, if they do fall a game or two short, that's what we're going to point back to. So, honestly, most people that I talk to have already turned the page on that. I don't find many Royals fans hanging their heads about this season. Of course, it's disappointing. It fell short of expectations. But again, if they can finish with a winning record, this to me is another brick in what John Sherman and J.J. Piccolo are trying to build. You guys can poke holes in this analogy, but it's something akin to, you can't be Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs until you're Alex Smith and the Chiefs. You start building that winning culture, and hopefully that's what's happening.
When you look at what they're doing as far as offense goes, I mean, it's pretty clear to me, if they don't want to trade anybody on the offensive end, they got five or six guys locked up for years. Michael Garcia, Vinny, Jack, Carter Jensen, Salvi only for the 1 year, but then Bobby Wood Jr. as well. They don't have, like, some guys getting ready to exodus out of side the offense. So, like, this year, I just kind of expect them to try to find one corner outfielder, and then that's it. Like, I don't expect some big offensive change this year, do you?
No. And I also don't think there's an everyday bat on its way to Kansas City. Not that they won't bring in an outfielder, an infielder, this, that, and the other, but I think you're only bringing guys in to add to a platoon, right? If we're acknowledging that six names are going to be in the lineup six out of every 7 days, if we're acknowledging that there's about $50 million owed to the top four starters in your rotation next season, I think we know this squad is likely, on opening day, going to be viewed as a ball club that is led by its rotation, its pitching, its defense, its team speed. That's what the Royals always are. And on opening day 2026, that's going to be the expectation. Now, Caglione and Carter and Bobby and Salvi, they can change that over the course of the first few months. They can become a squad that is led by its offense. But even if they are a squad led by the offense, you have to think it's going to be one of those six. Because you look to free agency or even trade propositions, you're not bringing, in my opinion, you're not bringing in anyone with the ceiling of a Jack Caglione. You're not going to bring in anyone that has the hit tool to go along with the ability to catch, like a guy like Carter Jensen. So to me, you're bringing in maybe someone to platoon with Massey in left field. Maybe you build a left field platoon this offseason, and Massey and India platoon at second base. Maybe you go get a right-handed center fielder to platoon with Kyle Isbell. But outside of that, I got Cags in right. I got the best left side of the infield in all of Major League Baseball. Vinny at first, Salvi and Carter Jensen at DH and catcher, depending on the day. So, yeah, I obviously they need to address the offense. But as has always been the case, so long as – I mean, you guys have been behind mics. As long as I've been behind mics, the Kansas City Royals are always going to look internally for that offensive boost. And if it doesn't come internally – well, then you're waiting until the trade deadline.
So I can run numbers on it, obviously. Jack Caglione is hitting for a slightly better average. He's like 220 over his last 17 games. He's getting on base significantly more. But yeah, there's still this missing part for me, Vern, which is, okay, all those things have to be like check marks on the way to when do you put the ball over the fence? Like frequently? I don't care if he hits 220 with a 350 on base like he's done the last 17 games. Just as long as over those 17 games, four or five went out. Like, so, like, at what point do you think that part of his game will come around? Because that's the part that's obviously missing still.
Yeah, and you look at those numbers, they're misleading because a couple of the big
off
knocks
the
came against a position player,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing that Jack Caglione can do over the course of the final five games that's going to remove him from the headline going into opening day of 2026. Going into spring training, he is the biggest question mark, right? I think Carter Jensen is certainly a question mark going into next season, but the guy, 15 games in, batting .289, 8 of his 13 hits have gone for extra bases. He shows an incredible eye at the dish. So I think Cags is going to be the biggest question mark, and it's exactly what you're talking about. What can we rely on you to do? The baseline needs to be run into a home run every other game, every three games, every week. Even if you're striking out a ton, if you want to be a three true outcome Joey Gallo guy in your first full season, I won't be happy about it, but it's at least something that offers a threat to the opposition. But to your question, no. Hopefully we see it in 2026, but honestly, if we see it in Sacramento in that ballpark, if we see it... Well, you got two lefties coming up against the Angels, so that would be nice, I guess, to see it against a fellow lefty. But no matter what he does this season, the gigantic question mark will remain.
Do you believe the staff as a whole will be back next year? Like, obviously, Q's going to be back, but other spots on this staff, do you believe they'll bring everybody back?
I would think so. There's, maybe someone could get a offer elsewhere and get a promotion, but no, I would think certainly the pitching staff. I would think Alex Zumwalt, and maybe you add another hitting coach, and let's make it four now.
Maximum.
There's so many coaches nowadays. Who knows how they could shuffle that? I don't see anybody losing their job
because there's somebody listening right now that's hearing you say, and I'm not saying you're wrong, but just
sure,
that Zumwalt is going to be back. That they're not going to really bring anybody other than platoon guys, and it basically it's a big. Well, I hope guys perform better next year. That's it. And there's people saying, well, shoot, we're going to be having the same conversation in 7 months.
True. But going into next season, if you look at this offense, where do you begin? What do you feel comfortable writing in as far as numbers? I feel comfortable writing Bobby in as an MVP.
Sure. Yep.
I feel comfortable right now saying that Vinny's going to go 30 and 100 next year.
Yeah. Yep.
I feel comfortable that Mike Kell's going to go 20 homers, 20 doubles, 20 bags next year.
Yeah. I love have a question mark on Mike Kell for me. I get a hell of a year.
I just want to see it one more time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. Personally, I don't. And then Salvi, I'll be conservative and give him 20 home runs. That's a pretty nice foundation, right? The last time I think you were this excited about an offense going into the following season, funny enough, might be 2019, Cody, right after Soler and O'Hearn and Mondesi and Dozier and Merrifield, you're thinking we might have something here, but you didn't have pitching. Right, yeah, you have the pitching now. So a strong foundation offensively. Listen, in this market, in this league, the Royals are always going to need a few guys to click for them to win a division, to make it to the postseason. And now the guys that you're looking at to click instead of Massey and Melendez and Renfro. It's going to be Caglione, Carter, and maybe Michael Massey once again.
Can I ask a question about Carter Jensen, just knowing that I don't think they'll do this for him, but I think they should. They have spent the better part of three or four off seasons desperately in seek of a guy who gets on base in front of their hitters, right? Mm-hmm. Guy who gets on base in front of Jack Caglione, or really in this case, Bobby, Vinny, Salvi, and those guys. I don't know that anyone's going to walk at a higher rate on the Royals than Carter Jensen. Should they be looking at him as the top of the order guy instead of messing around and hoping to find this? They traded away a good starter to try to find an on-base guy in front of those guys. Should Carter just be a top of the order guy?
I think he could earn it. I don't know if I'm going to give it to him on opening day of 2026. But yeah, you know, come the middle of May, if now, as I say all this, look how long it took them to pull Jonathan India out of the leadoff spot, right? That's something that I hope they regret in hindsight, knowing that Michael Garcia, following last night's performance, is now batting .352 as the Royals leadoff hitter this season. I could see a Michael, Carter, Bobby 1-2-3, but Carter's going to have to do it a little bit more than 15 games before I drop Vinny Pasquantino out of that first inning automatic at-bat. But yeah, your point about his ability to walk, there is no argument. And you know, especially with the way that Vinny seems to be selling out for a little bit more power as he approaches arbitration, yeah, the eye that Carter Jensen brings to the dish might be unmatched.
Before we let you go, the AL Central is unbelievable right now. The Guardians, with the tiebreaker, technically would be in the postseason right now as the division winner. I don't know how it's going to all play out, but what do you make what we're witnessing here in the Central over the last month plus?
An all-time gag job by the Detroit Tigers, including their star in Tarek Skubal, who just completely melted down in that three-run inning where the ball never leaves the infield. He tries to Jason Kelce it to the first baseman between his legs. But you're seeing that really around Major League Baseball, right? Juan Soto misplaced a ball in right field, and the Cubs take advantage and almost pulled that game off. You know, the Detroit Tigers, to me, for most of the season, did exactly what we all hoped the Royals would do and build off that momentum in 2024. And now, I'm almost wondering, man, am I more happy with how the season has played out if I'm a Royals fan than I am a Detroit Tigers fan? Because if they fall short, if they miss the playoffs after being up by 15 and a half games, I don't know who pays for that. I mean, I know the soul of everyone in that old English D will pay for it for the rest of their life, but I mean, you're not going to fire AJ Hinch.
No.
Someone has to be fired. I mean,
you would think so, but I don't know. I don't know who that is. That's what's going to be really frustrating for Tigers fans.
Insane. They were 9.5 games up on September 10th.
15 and a half back in July. Yeah.
FanGraphs on September 10th had him as a 99.9% chance to win the AL Central.
Do you believe the Guardians now, with all the momentum they had, do you think the Guardians end up winning this division?
I do. Skubal pitched yesterday, right? Yeah. Now it's Jack Flaherty who's having a down year. I don't know if Detroit's named their starter for tomorrow. Okay, they got Skubal possibly going on Sunday, but Cleveland is a... they certainly believe, and they're showing up that was jumping last night.
Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. We appreciate it, man. A little bit late again tonight, or at least the rest of the season. And we'll be listening as we join Royals coverage a little bit later on tonight. What, 7:30, I think, you're on deck, Sean.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. I'm sure you'll be listening to pregame. It's okay if you guys miss post.
Well, you don't want me on for a bet? You don't want me on for a bet in the final week?
Okay, well, then you're tough up.
All right, that's fine. He's breaking up. I don't know what happened.
I thought all the rumors online was that the rapture was last night. That Vern was getting taken up into the sky.
I don't know. That's what was throwing me off.
Into the interview there.
If I sounded weird how I was talking to him in the final 30 seconds, because I was very confused as I was trying to talk to him.
Sounded like he was being digitized in an 80s movie, like sucked into a television. Exorcism was getting him.
All of a sudden, the internet connection went bad or something. But we appreciate Vern. His on-deck show tonight, and maybe I'll do a baseball bet. I don't think I was signing up for tonight, Vern. I'm like tomorrow or Friday.
That's fine. You'll sign up here soon enough and we'll get you involved. Look, the division is nuts.
It is.
Because what Vern said, I'll just tell you right now, if the Tigers miss the division, and this is going to sound, I would much rather be the Royals this year than the Tigers. I would be sick.
If
Kansas City, they were up 15 and a half games in August, and 9.5 games 14 days ago. They are only one game up in the final wild card spot and currently tied for the division lead.
It's
after blowing the entire lead to the Cleveland Guardians. They have choked. Yeah. In a really, really, really bad way.
And that game last night, obviously a scary moment, too, when David Fry was trying to bunt the baseball. And Scooball, of course, not intentionally at all, but just the ball went right, I mean, square on Fry's face. Now we now know in the last hour the overall diagnosis there. David Fry, broken nose, multiple facial fractures. Yeah. Very scary moment last night in that game. And frankly, that's also in the middle of the inning when everything turned and flipped in the Guardians' favor, actually.
Yep.
I'm sure psychologically, I mean, you saw Scooball's reaction to it. He immediately threw his hat and glove down, like, I can't, because he had a front row seat watching that. That was obviously not a moment anybody liked to see there. So David Fry was hospitalized, but 99 mile per hour pitch right to the face, right to the nose.
I am locked in. And look, I watched part of the Royals game last night, but I'm locked into the Guardians and Tigers series.
It was fun last night.
I'm incredibly fascinated at what takes place, because this would be one of the worst choke jobs in Major League Baseball history to blow a lead of that statue. Again,
I think the Guardians are going to end up winning.
FanGraphs had them at a 99.9% goal 2 weeks ago on the 10th. You could have bet. You would have been insane, and I would have been like, what's wrong with you? You could have bet the Cleveland Guardians plus 15,000 to win the division. The Tigers are minus 10,000 to win the division. I mean, you could have bet whatever you wanted and go to be like, I'm putting 100 on the Guardians to win. I'm like, are you insane? Like, what evidence is there that they're just going to completely
should have put $10 on it. Would have won $1,500, you know?
Been a pretty good payday.
Yeah.
That'd have been a pretty good payday.
Crazy.
Royals offseason is going to be interesting if it goes as quiet as Vern said.
I didn't like what he had to say, I'll be honest. I didn't like it.
Let's do our personal offseason wish
just,
list.
Real quick, I know we got to get to Ram question. It's just that if the plan is just run it all back, and I agree that there's plenty of pieces that you should feel very, very good about. But if the plan is we're going to have the exact same coaching staff across the board, we're going to have basically the same players, except we're going to have a full season of Jensen and a full season of Cags, and that means Carlos Estevez will just pitch, have another career year, and that Mike Hill will have another career year.
And he'll do 30-100.
I'm just saying, you're banking on a lot of great things going your way and not really improving the ball club. I don't know if I like that idea. We'll see if that's actually what happens this offseason. All right, let's get to the random question.
Random question.
Random question of the day brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. So for you, Gold, you, Drew, text line 913-586-7965. Also, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. We'll always tell you, live stream the show 4 hours every day. You can subscribe, pop to the top of your feed, interact with us. I don't know. See what hoodies we're wearing that day. I almost put on the hoodie you're wearing today.
Really?
It was right next to this one. I was like, you know what? I want to zip one today in case, because like we get into this middle of the temperature. It's like I want to be able to take the hoodie off easier, depending on the circumstance. So I decided with a zip hoodie.
Yeah, it's a nice powder blue Royal City Connect hoodie. I like it. Yeah,
so it is good. The Royals sent them to us not that long ago. So the question I have for you today is about television, because Alex was very emphatically watching the preview for Stranger Things season 5.
Five, volume one.
Okay, I've never seen Stranger Things. That's not what the question's about. We've talked about this once. It's just not like a show that didn't catch.
I haven't either.
I probably should.
Oh, my.
You once
goodness.
Said it's a show that would absolutely.
It's right up your alley.
Yeah.
What you said you,
it
would.
I don't know. I just never got around to it. And now it feels like there's so many episodes. Will I ever get caught up?
Well, you got time. And season started in 2016.
Yeah. Well, I know that.
They've been dragging this thing out for a decade.
But once you get behind, it feels like impossible to catch up. It's like the same reason I've never seen an episode of The Sopranos.
That's crazier. Yes.
The random question is not what I have about today. It's a habit I do that I'm curious if others do instead. So 913-586-7965. When a new season of a show is getting ready to start, do you rewatch the previous season before the new season starts as an effort to understand
absolutely.
What's going on?
I like the question.
Absolutely. Like yeah, you have to because
I do it all the time.
For example, Stranger Things, they have spaced this thing out so many times that I'll be honest, I have a good idea exactly, but I want to be refreshed. Where is every character at in that finale? Like where were we at? So I don't know if I always go the whole season. I'll watch the final two episodes of the prior season. Because then I'm like, okay, yeah, that's right. That happened. That's right. She went there or whatever. Like, this person's underground. Like, whatever, right? Like, that whole thing. I'll remember
very quickly once I start watching. But I there's no way I'm going to watch the new season episode, the first episode of season five, without watching one or two from the last
Sometimes,
one.
Sometimes, like, there's been a couple of times, like when it was the final season of Game of Thrones, I started way early on the complete rewatch. Like, all right, we're back to episode one, season one, episode one. Back. I've gone all the way back before, like, a series finale. Like, we're wrapping this whole thing up. I don't know. I might have missed something with Daenerys somewhere along the way. Time to get caught back up. But typically, I will completely rewatch the entire season before, because I feel like I need it a lot of times on shows for context reasons in order to do it. And I know some shows do the, like, on the previous season of, you know, whatever. Yeah, yeah. I don't feel like
they'll
it's adequate.
They'll do a quick little highlight, but it's not good enough.
Someone says, I just watched the last episode of the previous season.
I get that.
Someone says, who has that much time? I will say, the reason why I end up, the rewatch is not the same as the initial watch, if that makes sense. I might rewatch it while doing the dishes, while folding laundry, while, you know, like while throwing a baseball to the kid outside, right? It might be it's a distraction watch, if that makes sense. Background noise where I'm like, oh yeah, okay, got it, cool. It's not like a full, I'm invested, and you know, not often invested in.
What other, now, before,
there's no way, like, I have too much free time, I can guarantee you that.
This question we've answered, I'm even more fascinated though, what other big mega TV series considered kind of, I don't want to say all time, but certain, some of them are. Series, have you not, so you've not seen Sopranos?
No,
I haven't either. Stranger Things, haven't either.
At least you're younger, so I get it even more.
We also know that Drew is Cody, seen have almost you, nothing.
Yes.
That's Cody.
Sopranos, Cody, no. Have you seen Breaking Bad?
Yes.
Have you seen Game of Thrones?
Yes.
Mm.
Drew, have Walking you seen any
Dead?
Of these yet?
I have not seen either of those.
Seen The Walking Dead. No. Although I don't know.
Not Stranger Things.
I have a lot of friends that got into Game of Thrones. I didn't. I have not watched an episode. And I think part of it is I'm intentionally not jumping into that pool.
Does it hold up? Like, does Sopranos hold up?
Well, I mean, look, there's some elements to it that obviously, you know, that they're, when they're using, you know, payphones and things like that, obviously.
Yeah, but I don't mind that in The Wire. Yeah. I'm just
asking. Well, then you'll be good. Then you'll be good.
Does it, which is another one I've seen.
I am like you guys, though. I will go back. I'm not the full season like you, Cody, but I'll go back and I'll rewatch the last two episodes of a season. It's okay. I think it depends, though. So for like regular TV, if a new season like FBI is coming up later on, or Tracker is coming up later on in a few weeks, I'm not going back and I'm not watching the full season.
No, but on shows like that,
I don't watch anything that's on normal network television anymore.
But if I want to go back and watch like the Outer Banks series, there's only like 10 episodes. I'll go back and like we'll go back and watch all 10 to just get a refresher. But the same as you guys, it's good to get a quick little refresher.
I think the shows
you've
missed are the biggest comedies. So like, you think it's weird because I've missed the biggest drama series. Yeah. I think,
I mean, Sopranos is considered almost consensus a top three series of all time.
Parks and Rec is largely considered one of the greatest comedy series of all time. I don't think you've seen an episode.
I've seen an episode.
Never seen Parks and Rec.
Okay, but never really watched it. Maybe seen an episode. But like I've missed more because I've also never seen, I've missed more drama series.
Okay.
I think.
Fair enough.
It might just be time.
Have you seen House of Cards?
Never seen House of Cards.
Okay,
never seen
the dramas. It's
never seen True Detective. Never seen Fargo. These are like the ones I've missed. And I'm not saying that those are as big as some of the ones we've mentioned.
Here's IMDb's.
But I haven't seen those.
IMDb's top. So this is IMDb's top 250 TV shows. Now, I think they're cheating on some of these because some of these are mini series and I don't count that, but whatever. Sure. So Breaking Bad, they have number one. We already went over that. Planet Earth 2, that's a mini series. I don't count that. They have Planet Earth 1 and 2.
Is that a movie now?
Band of Brothers, also a mini series. Chernobyl, great, but mini series. I don't know why they're including them. The Wire was number 6 on this list, although it should be higher. The Sopranos was 8, another Blue Planet. And then they have way too many mini series. And then Game of Thrones was 13 on the list. I think that's way too low. I'm trying to find the first comedy, Cody. They don't. Better Call Saul is like the first comedy / drama that they list.
Comedies are lower. Friends, Seinfeld, It's Always
the
Sunny
Office
in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming you've seen The Office.
I have. Yeah, I don't mind The Office occasionally. I'll watch episodes. I haven't watched the full show all time, but
yeah, I'm just saying. I'm guessing I've missed less comedy series, and I've missed way more.
Yeah.
Of the like drama based series. Some of it is. I like the limited amount of time I have post the kids go to bed to watch a series like that versus I can watch a comedy series while my children are awake. I can't watch Narcos while my kids asking me for help
series.
On Kirby.
One of my favorite
like,
series.
I can only watch that.
Have you seen
in,
Narcos?
Like, an absolute shrunken middle time.
No.
Or like Brooklyn Nine-Nine is one of my favorite comedies of all time. Have you ever seen Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
I've seen episodes.
Yeah. Like, but not really watched it. So like, I think that I've just seen more, or maybe I've leaned more towards that.
Yeah.
Versus the drama series. I think part of it is like the kids thing has made it difficult. That doesn't excuse the Sopranos, but it's like, I can't, it's like some of those newer ones. It's like, when am I watching it? I finished watching the first season of The Pit, which is the only season of it. It's very good. It's an HBO drama series that they do like 24, but I had to watch that. I watched that I watched that show really slow because I could only watch it when my kids weren't awake and my wife doesn't want to watch it. So it's just a show. Like, do you know how rare it is for me to have that much consecutive time alone? Very. I watched it on, like, we were out of town. I watched an episode. I watched one when she was, like, at work on a Wednesday. It took me, like, a month to get through it.
Yeah. Drew, I don't know. You know, Cody sounds like he's got some good reasons / excuses. I'm trying to figure out how on earth you haven't seen some of these.
I don't know if I don't think, I think in my, I know we got to really go to a break because we're way late. I think that I've only watched maybe I think I could count on my hands the number of complete series from season one to season end that I've ever watched in my life. Probably only on both hands.
Scooby-Doo, complete collection.
Tracker.
Pretty much, yes. FBI. Tracker, I've watched every, the FBI series, I've watched every episode.
That's his go-to.
Seinfeld is the one in terms of older, quote unquote. Yeah. I've watched bookended. I've watched the entire thing.
All right, up next, Josh Klingler going to be on the sidelines Sunday afternoon as the Chiefs take on the Ravens. We'll get his insight on that game next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.